This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Mark Gastineau. You're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. It's April 13, 2021. A gorgeous day. I mean, yeah. Gorgeous day in New York City. Even the Mets radar says it's a gorgeous day, which is something else. Michael K., along with Don LaGreca, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. Peter Rosenberg, to the delight of many, has the day off. Does that mean, Don?
It's mean, yes. How accurate it is, I'm not prepared to say, because I'm sure there's a lot of people disappointed.
Right. Well, do you think there's more people disappointed or more people happy? Let's run it up the poll.
Wow. That's rude.
I think we should do it. Anthony, can you run that up the poll? Are you happy that Peter Rosenberg is off today?
Man.
So go to Twitter, at ESPN, TMKS, ESPN, and vote. Are you happy? I mean, I'm not happy that he's off. But
there are a segment
of people that would be happy.
Is this a serious request?
Yes.
Come on, dog.
I want to run up the poll. Hey. I want to be like Lebatard. He runs everything up the poll.
I know nothing.
Whether staff is missed or not,
I think
Andrew,
it's important
to know. This is over the top heel.
I don't feel right running this up the poll.
I really want it run up the poll. I really do. Are you happy that Peter Rosenberg is off today? It's not a hard question. And then if people are happy about it, it gives us more fodder tomorrow. It's all about programming. It's about entertaining people.
No, I get it, but that's.
It's harsh, I know, but you know
it's
that's
very
what we
harsh.
Do here.
It's not about the level of difficulty with the question. I'm sure the people that will answer it will have no problem answering it.
Right.
But that's a tough spot.
Yeah, I know.
But
so Andrew, I'd really like you to do that for me, please. Can you do that for brother?
All right, I'll do it.
All right, there you go. So go to at TMKSESPN. You can see Don's disgusted, but Peter is in fact off today. Family matters, but good stuff. I think he's hanging out with Urkel. Family matters. You see what I did there, Don?
Yeah. I got the reference.
Yeah.
Sure.
Have you heard the our stations really, you know, spend a lot of money. I don't know if you've heard. I don't know how many of the Yankee games you've watched the last week, but they actually have an in-game read which cost a truckload of money on
yesterday. Sure.
For the show, and they even play Joey's song. I don't read it because it would be weird if I'm reading my own promo, but David has read it yesterday. Meredith read it. I think Paul's going to read it today.
How about that?
But
and
Meredith
there was a nice little
yesterday,
graphic during Knicks Lakers on MSG last night.
I know. I mean,
how about that?
Company stepping up. So here's what they do in the company: they break you down and then they'll build you back up. Break you down, build you back up. So we'll take the building back up. But Meredith asked me during the game, does she have an opportunity to win the $500 in the 2 o'clock hour today? I said, of course. You know,
yeah.
Not an employee of ESPN.
Nope.
Just because you're a friend of mine doesn't mean you can't win. So Meredith might call in today to try to win.
I think you'd be very proud to announce her name if she did.
I would. And I after about 6 or 7 years, I can now finally pronounce it correctly. So I'm happy about that. Don, how you doing today? Good?
Good.
Doing well?
I got up very early this morning.
Why is that?
Because I had to take my mom for her second shot.
Okay.
So her appointment was at 7:40 in the morning. So I was up early, and I popped on DCR to say hello.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I called. I just wanted to talk to RJ. I'm never up that early. And he's like, you want to go on with the guys? And Rick immediately played the role of Kay and tried to create trouble. How did it feel not to be asked to do a hockey show that Dave Rothenberg's doing?
Well, wait,
that was
wait,
the first
wait,
thing
wait.
Rick did.
Dave's doing a hockey show?
Dave is doing a hockey show. Thanks for listening to the station, Michael. It's every Saturday morning. And
I listened to Dave driving into the ballpark on Saturday. He wasn't doing a hockey show. He was doing Stump Rothenberg. He's doing a regular show.
Well, the show airs at 7 a.m.
Oh, 7 to 8. You wouldn't want to get up at 7 and 8 to do a hockey show.
Well, I wasn't asked.
That's hurtful.
No, but that's what Rick was saying. Does it hurt you that as the hockey guy, you're not doing the hockey show? And I said, no, Dave will do a terrific job. Dave likes hockey. That's fine. I don't have to do everything involved with the sport. So he was trying to start trouble. But it was nice. It was a nice, beautiful day to go for a ride. Got my mom the shot. Got to hang out with her for a little bit. So a good day so far.
So I've got a couple of things to ask here. You do all the heavy lifting in the son-mom thing. Dave just backed out of that, right?
Yeah, he's not involved.
You really drive a long way to pick up your mom to give her a shot. Get up
it's
in the
hour.
Morning. You got twins, and then you got an hour back. Then you have to do a show. Dave just doesn't. He's just not involved.
Well, Dave has a show. His show's at 9 in the morning.
Right.
His wrestling show. So that's takes him out of the mix.
Gotcha.
Plus, my mom would rather have me do it anyway.
She likes you more than Dave.
Yeah, there's no question.
All right, good enough. And also, I'd like to have another poll. Who craves airtime more, Don or Rothenberg? Don or Rothenberg?
That's a lot of poll. We shouldn't. That's not right. That should be the poll more, though, whether you like Peter or not. That's not right.
I didn't say if you like Peter. Are you glad Peter's off today?
Obviously, if you like him, you're not glad he's off.
Well, because today's going to be a baseball-heavy day. Do you really want Peter to just sit there and breathe into the mic? That's the deal.
Yep.
That's what you get.
He'd open some baseball cards. He would just breathe into the microphone.
Mm. Well, you two will have a lot of fun tomorrow because the Yankee game's at 1, so you could get a running start at the beginning of the show before I come on at 4.
There you go.
A lot of stuff to talk about.
Basketball
today.
Cards to open the show tomorrow.
I mean, he was, you know, if left to his own devices, Don, this is your job tomorrow. He was going to open hockey cards in the 5 o'clock hour. You know that's what he was going to do.
Oh, I think you did the right thing trying to stop it because he was just going to start, you know, Steve Duchesne. Oh,
right.
You know, he would have just been throwing out names all over the place. So I think you did the right thing, Michael.
Thank you.
And believe me, it's a wrestle. When you're not here, you know, it's a real wrestle to get him reeled in.
Right.
I mean, it's trying to catch a marlin because then he starts going and he realizes, well, Michael's not here. So it's like substitute teacher Don. And then I eventually do reel him in with a little help from Andrew and Anthony. But, yeah, do not be surprised if he will break out some sport card tomorrow, like in the 3 o'clock hour.
I really think that Andrew is defying me, that the poll is not up. He's defying me.
All right. I'm just trying to find the right wording.
Are you happy that Peter's off today? That's it. It's not that tough to word.
What a great stall tactic by Andrew.
Oh, my. I'm not going to check it out. I mean, what a bad guy.
Listen, Andrew, Michael's the bad guy. You're just doing what you're told. So don't feel bad. Michael should feel bad.
Right, right. I'm the bad guy. Blame
this is
it on
full
me.
Heel K right now.
We've got to get in. I actually, in the promo for the show on Twitter, I said, if you want to really digest the full handsomeness of Don today, you've only got an hour and a half. Because yesterday's Nets-Timberwolves game, which was postponed, is actually being played today, and coverage starts at 3:30. So we're on Yes from 2 to 3:30. But don't worry. Radio, show, until 6:30, we're on 98.7, so digest it that way. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Lather yourself in it, because it's a radio vehicle today from 3:30 to 6:30.
No matter what happens, you can always guarantee that we will either be on 98.7 or on the stream.
Right.
So those are the two ways to consume if the Yankees are on, or in this case, the Nets are on. Or if there's some random tennis that they got to air. Whatever it is, you know 98.7 and the stream.
You know
what?
Say
to Alexa, play ESPN New York.
It's funny, Don, because Yes actually has a contract, random tennis, they call it. Any random tennis. But you know we have the Yankees on Yes.
Sure.
And I sit there, and I'm going to sound like such a baseball geek, but you heard it when I was interviewing with you and Peter. Garrett Cole, I love watching the guy pitch. He's an absolute master. So you could see, gave up a run in the first inning, wasn't sharp, didn't have his command. Then two runners got on in the second inning, and something snapped in on him where he just became an animal out there. From that point forward, he retired the next 15 in a row. Now, he was only able to go six innings because his pitch count got up to 98, and you don't push him that much more after 98 in his third start of the year. But he's just amazing. And, you know, he turned it over to the bullpen. And, Don, the Yankee bullpen has not given up a run in the last 13 innings. Garrett Cole, in three starts this season, is 2-0 with a 1.47 ERA. He has 29 strikeouts and three walks, a whip of 0.82. Now, the 29 strikeouts in three games, it's significant to note that ties David Cohn. I'm shocked at this. It ties David Cohn for the most strikeouts in the first three games of a season in Yankee history. Now, that includes Ron Guidry and, you know, Al Downing, who was a great strikeout pitcher. And
yeah.
I mean, I can list every great Yankee pitcher, Roger Clemens. And now this guy's at 29 tied with David Cohn.
And those are over the starts, not innings, right?
Right. Those are over three starts.
Right, because you know those pitchers threw more than 18 and two-thirds over three starts.
Right.
No offense to Cole, just the way the game is right now. I'm sure Cohn and certainly Guidry probably threw way more than 18 and two-thirds over two outings. So just that's even more spectacular. He's been able to do it in limited innings.
I started to think about it as I'm watching him, and you want to give full credit to Kyle Higashioka with two home runs yesterday, accounting for the Yankees' runs. Yankees won 3-1 over Toronto. I started to think as I was driving home, I think we have the two best pitchers in baseball pitching in New York.
Right.
I think that Jacob DeGrom is better than Cole by a little bit, but he's better. And then you have Cole. And then I started to wonder, has that ever happened where they have the best pitchers in baseball in New York? So, you know, obviously 76, 77, 78. You know, especially in 78, Ron Guidry was the best pitcher, but the Mets didn't have – was Seaver on the Mets?
Seaver was gone at 77.
He was gone by then, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't have it then. I just don't know how often this has happened. It's amazing that you have such – and they're great pitchers throughout baseball, but those two, in my opinion, they are the absolute best. They're craftsmen. They're dominant. They never give in. They're just they're great at everything they do. They have a lot of pride in what they do. And I'm just amazed that we get a chance to see them. And, you know, since they don't seem like they're on the same day, you know, on back-to-back days, you're getting to see Gerrit Cole and Jacob DeGrom in New York. That's a pretty neat thing.
And I hope people feel the same way we do, Michael. I know that especially a younger generation, and not even, like, really young, like, even people that are, like, my age or a little bit younger, just always seem to crave the home run, a lot of runs. And I grew up as a pitcher. You know, I got cut in college, so that's where my career ended. But I've always appreciated pitching, and I could really sit down and enjoy it. I mean, my career, my highlight as a fan was when Doc Gooden came up. I mean, I loved Strawberry and Keith Hernandez and Gary Carter and all that. I loved what the Mets did offensively in the mid-'80s, but to see Doc pitch every 5 days, that was much, much watched television. You had to get there. This might be the day that, you know, Doc goes out and strikes out 20. You know, throwing 100 miles per hour. I mean, I love that. I'm captivated by those types of performances. I wonder if other people are. Now, obviously, we had Harvey Day when Harvey was pitching well, but this is another stratosphere now. What these two pitchers are doing, Michael, that's historic. Forget about when Tanaka came up or Harvey came up. The fact that we're talking about these two pitchers in the same breath as Guidry and Seaver, this is some special stuff. So I know people love the home runs and the activity, and strikeouts are supposed to like be boring now. But when you see somebody this good dominate at that level, I find it very, very captivating.
And I was thinking of this too. If you were starting a team and you wanted to pick one of those pitchers, I think you have to go with Cole. I think he's like 3 years younger than Jacob DeGrom. So, I mean, that could cause a little bit of a stir, but, you know, Jacob DeGrom, I think, is a better starter now, but wouldn't you want a guy who's 3 years younger? I believe that Cole's 29 and Jacob's 32. I could be off, but and by the way, I'm just going to say it right now. I just might get up and walk out today because I just saw the way Andrew worded the poll, Don. And I mean, talk about throwing me under the bus. I have a playful poll, and this is the way he did. So many of us are uncomfortable with this poll, but are you happy that Rosenberg Radio is off today? So he has you voting yes, no, or a K equals bad guy for asking, which is leading now.
I just don't know if you can put Andrew in that kind of position.
But he's doing my bidding.
I understand that, and you're a very powerful person, but he's also the producer of this show. And I know how things work. Management's not going to be happy with you. I'm telling you. Ryan right now is red hot at you that you asked that question.
Not a chance.
I'm telling you,
they
he's upset. Because why are you doing that? You're trying to devalue a member of the show.
I'm not devaluing anybody.
Because you know
anybody.
How this is going to turn out, Michael. You know. If you thought there was a chance Peter would win, you wouldn't even suggest it. So you're hoping he gets pulverized, okay?
No, I'm not. Now, no, you know I'm a
Andrew,
Peter fan.
Andrew,
it was a
exactly
terrible thing that you
is
did.
Turn out.
Terrible thing. Because now we're not going to know the true
but
answer.
I'm going to tell
because
you how
everybody's
going to
vote for me as the bad guy.
But I'm going to tell you how it works here. Management's upset with you.
Hey, I haven't gotten the text, and
they're not
shy about it.
That's not gonna. It's not text worthy. It's giving Andrew heck for doing it.
I'm the one who did it.
I know, but that, you know how many times we've all gotten in trouble for things you did.
No, I don't.
You
know
how many
times.
Meetings I've had in sitting there in the office with Joey back in the day, and Peter now, when you're off gallivanting around the country doing Yankee games, and they talk to us about trying to get you to change.
So why don't you talk to Big Head? Why don't you just say that? Don't take the hit from me. Go talk to Big Head. Just say it like that. How dare they? I'm done with you, Andrew, for the day. Really am. I'm done with you. All right,
Andrew, I got your back, Andrew. You did the right thing.
Well, I'll be doing ENN, Michael, so.
Well, good. I won't listen. We're celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. Later in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the KCast Sounder. See ya! See ya! See ya! And be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $500 cash. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, you said Cone's second, right? It's
no,
Cole's
no,
first. What's that?
He's tied.
Both of them have 29.
29.
All right, and I just looked it up. In 97, Cone pitched 20 innings in the first three starts.
So how many is it for Cole?
18 and two-thirds.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I've got other strikeout stats if you'd like. I know you love these. Yankee pitchers as a whole, the starters and the relievers, 121 strikeouts, right? That's in 92 innings. Do you know, Donald, that that's the most by any club through the first through the first 10 games of a season in major league history?
Yeah. But can I throw a little cold water on it?
Oh, sure.
It's a heck of a lot easier to strike somebody out now than it was back in the day.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, when Cone did it in 97, Michael, you know, players took pride in not striking out.
Now they love striking out.
Now it doesn't matter.
You know, no,
they love it. That's what's so weird. It's that whole opposite, like, road of, you know, there's too many strikeouts in baseball, but yet pitchers, you know, we want our pitchers to strike guys out, but they should strike out. It's amazing. What's the average strikeouts per game, Michael?
Oh, it seems like there's, like, per team, it's 12 or 13 a game.
I mean, that's incredible. There's 27 outs. Right?
It's a joke, but I don't know how you – I mean, Theo Epstein has come up with a plan to move the mound back, move the rubber back a foot. He said that would give – that would equalize it. But can you imagine the arms that will be destroyed? Their whole lives they've been pitching at 60 feet, 6 inches. Now you're going to move it back a foot just to neutralize the velocity that everybody has?
But it's not so much how filthy the pitchers are. It's that there's no more two-strike approach. Right? The whole idea was I'm going to go up there and I'm going to be free swinging, trying to hit a home run. But then when I fall behind in the count, I'm now going to choke up a little bit, go with the pitch, try to go the other way, just make contact. No, no, no. You're swinging as hard 3-0 as you would 0-2.
And that's what they get paid for. And unless they're incentivized to do that, and unless you de-incentivize them, why should they shorten up?
What was it? Gary Sheffield said that if he wasn't trying to hit home runs, he would never strike out. Right? He'd always be able to make contact. If it was just trying to put the ball in play, he would never strike out. He strikes out because he's trying to hit the ball. And this is 20 years ago. So you know these players have the hand-eye coordination, Michael, for the most part, to be able to stay alive. But that filthy slider, and also the pitchers are, there's no more just get it over fastball. They're throwing vicious sliders 3-1.
Yeah.
You know, so the game is completely changed. I don't want to go. I don't now want to try to change the velocity of a pitcher, move the mound back. I just wish that you could have a different approach of why does it have to be hitting over the shift all the time. And I think by outlawing the shift, that might change it just a little bit.
Wow, I have a mark on the side of my face.
No, let's see.
Yeah, look on the left side of my face.
From like a marker or a pen or?
Yeah, it looks like a pen. No, I'm showing there. See?
Oh, wow. Wow. Well,
that's hideous. Nobody even told me. All Yes told me was your earpiece is falling out, which it was not. It's my earpiece for TV that I have hanging on the back of my collar, but my earpieces for the radio are in my ears. But nobody saw this big, big, ugly stripe on the right side of my face. I might just walk out today.
Did you just try to clean off the wrong side of your face?
Yes.
Michael, that's not where the mark is. What are you doing? No, that's a godsmack. That's for running the poll for Peter. That's what you get.
No,
that's a godsmack.
It's called having fun.
That's somebody else's expense. When is that ever a good idea?
How many times do you guys insult me on an hourly basis on this show?
But
so I'm taking a shot at the little guy. Big deal.
But to get to put it in poll form so it's there and it'll live forever.
Forever.
And if he gets pulverized like 80-20 or something like that, you're going to hang on the rim.
But that's not the case because Andrew ensured that it's not by putting in that other choice.
It's not fair.
I think Andrew had really no choice to do what he did.
Oh, you know what? Why is everybody afraid of everybody? Just do what you want to do and enjoy yourself. Try
because
to make the show entertaining.
Equal. Andrew can't live that way. He has to be held accountable. Not everybody's the transmitter like you.
If they fired Andrew because of something I asked him to do, I would walk off the show and quit. Now, how would that work out for them? See ya!
But does it make sense for it to get that off the rails over this?
You know what? It's my fault because I don't have the aptitude to put up a Twitter poll. If I knew how to do it, I would do it. I'm a lunkhead. But you know what? I'm going to learn, and I don't have to ask Andrew to do my dirty work anymore. Or is Kay a bad guy? So, of course, that's going to win. But you know who's got my back, Don? Do you know who has my back?
Who?
Anthony Greek of Yes. He put up a legitimate poll. At TMKS on Yes.
I have
what
more respect for Greek than that. He's kissing Fanny. That's a bad job out of him. Andrew, good job out of you.
Why is it a bad job out of Greek? He's actually like, you know, one of the hosts of the show asked for something, and he did it.
Because he's not held accountable the way Andrew is.
Why is everybody afraid
care,
of everybody?
Right now, Ryan's red hot. He's red hot.
If he was red hot, his big fat fingers would be sending me a text. By the way, James Paxton headed to season-ending surgery. Really sad. He's a good guy, and when he's healthy, he's a hell of a pitcher. So the Mariners signed him to a one-year, I think it was $10 million deal, which was smart. They figured get off to a good start. They wouldn't contend. They trade him, get young players. But season-ending surgery. It's
Did
funny,
the Yankees
though,
know, Michael, you think?
I think the Yankees knew that there was something up. And this is something that Cashman and his crew don't get credit for, Don. They never even tried to bring back Dellin Betances. Not even try. And Dellin Betances has been really nothing like the pitcher that he was with the Yankees with the Mets. Nothing. He used to throw 98 or 99 with the Yankees. He's topping out at 92. The Yankees knew something. Paxton, it made sense. I told them that they should sign Paxton. I thought that that was the move. They didn't even make a bid. When you have a problem with your arm or your forearm or something like that, it's a precursor to something serious happening. I mean, remember, toward the end, Betances couldn't get his shoulder loose. There was an impingement. The Yankees didn't even entertain bringing him back. But everyone wants to bring up the stuff that they don't like about Cashman. They don't bring up that stuff. They cut bait at the right time. They really do. They didn't bring back Matsui after he won an MVP in the World Series. They didn't bring him back. He's never the player that he was with the Yankees anywhere else, with the A's or whatever, or the Angels. Never. They know how to cut bait without, like, having any emotional attachment. They do. That's just the way they've been. They didn't bring back Johnny Damon. They just know when it's time to say goodbye.
The great organizations, the well-run organizations, even though Yankee fans may not think their team is well-run, but they are, is that when they're not interested in a player, Michael, that should scare you. Now, there's certain organizations in all sports, right? When they get rid of a guy, that should be enough to say, I'm not touching this guy. They know something.
I think the Red Sox in the past were like that. There was no way the Yankees should have bitten and gotten Jacoby Ellsbury. when a division rival, a hated rival, lets him go to the Yankees, that should have sent up a red flag. Now, the Yankees didn't let Bernie Williams go to the Red Sox because they knew Bernie Williams still had a lot in the tank. And Steinbrenner stepped in and signed him when he was about to go to the Red Sox. When the Yankees saw a clear path to get Ellsbury, they should have ducked. Everybody who deals with the Tampa Bay Rays should duck. Every single team. Don't trade with the Tampa Bay Rays. They very rarely make mistakes. Although they might have made a mistake dealing with the San Diego Padres because Cronenworth is amazing how good he is. All right, so we've got a lot on the table here. It's an angry start. I started off in a great mood, and you guys just ticked me off. So let's towel off. Let's see how the poll is going. 1-800-919-3776. Yeah. Also, the Yankee manager, Aaron Boone, kind of ticked off Don a little bit. Kind of ticked him off a little bit. A
little bit.
So we'll find out what exactly moved Don's needle, so to speak, when we get back. It's Kay LaGreca, no Rosenberg and you, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So I want to explain something before we move forward. I asked to see, by a show of hands on a Twitter poll, if people were happy that Peter was off. Didn't mean that I thought that people would be happy. Now, the only legitimate poll that's going on right now, because it doesn't have Andrew's default factor, is the Yes Network poll at TMKS on Yes, right? And they just simply asked, are you happy Peter is off today? Over 1,000 votes have been cast on. 60% of the people say no, they're not happy.
Right.
So this is an affirmation of the greatness of Peter. It's not ripping him, because you don't believe in Peter. That's why you didn't want the poll up. So this is on you as the bad guy.
No,
I believe in Peter.
No. I think you're disappointed. You're spinning. You're translating this into something different. We knew what your motivation was early.
No, you're wrong.
Andrew and I heard the tone. And now you're adjusting on the fly to say, oh, this is just confirmation. I knew this was going to happen. No, you're disappointed. You were hoping he was going to get destroyed.
Look, you're getting choked up about it? I did not. I absolutely did not feel like that.
Andrew.
People love Peter. He's the reason.
Andrew.
No, I thought you were fishing for a certain answer.
No, I wasn't. Well, you know what? You guys don't know me. That's what's sad.
No,
that's
I know
why the show could go off
yourself.
The rails. You don't know me. You think you do, and you don't. Clowns.
Peter texted me, by the way.
Now, what did he say? If he's off, he's off. Don't be listening to the show if he's off.
He wrote, wow, what a bad guy.
Oh, my goodness.
See?
Well, why don't you tell him what the votes are? So he's going to think I'm a great guy, because now I have made it known to the whole world how important he is to the show.
And that was your motivation?
Yes.
Oh, bull. Come on.
Because you know what? Who spends most of his time? You didn't even take part. When people on Twitter are killing Peter, and I go, he's done nothing wrong. Just because he might have an opinion that you don't like, you're not going to listen to the show, then don't listen to the show. I'm the one who defends him. This poll was designed to show that he is needed, he is loved, hey, that the people love Peter Rosenberg.
Again, the worst lies are the ones you tell yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Let's take some phone calls.
Should
before
run that
you
up
get mad
poll.
At the manager.
I just don't like, I'll use the word that I used with Mike Tannenbaum, the gobbledygook of every press conference. Whether it's Judge,
wait,
is he injured,
minute.
Is he not injured? Hey, listen, Higgy's the catcher for Cole. Done. I don't know what the issue is.
Here's what Aaron said postgame.
I mean, full time? No, I mean, he's going to catch him a lot. I like it because it usually lines up, and it kind of lines up with wanting to give Gary a day. So, but I also feel good about Gary catching him. You know, I thought they were really good together on opening day. So there's going to be games where Gary catches him, but as the schedule unfolds, a lot of times it's going to work out that it makes sense to get Higgy in there, and that's his day. And, you know, he can kind of game plan with them throughout the week and everything. So I certainly like the combination. I think you'll expect to see it a lot, but Gary will get back there at some point too.
I think it's fair what he's saying. He's saying you're going to see it a lot. So he's not saying that you're going to see it every single time, but in 32 starts, I think you might see Gary Sanchez catch three of them.
I respect the fact that he's not going to be married to it, because that might not be the case in the playoffs, or maybe Higashioka's really struggling, and you don't want to be married to like what you had with whoever the backup catcher was, the Javi Lopez, when Greg Maddux pitched, right? It was known that Greg Maddux was not pitching the Javi Lopez. Even though Lopez was almost a Hall of Famer, he did not catch Greg Maddux. Didn't matter if it was Olsen, didn't matter if it was Perez. Anybody but Lopez was catching, right? And I don't think that has to be the answer either, because obviously opening day, you're not going to have Gary Sanchez, your starting catcher, sit on opening day. That would look bad. And in the playoffs, you want to be able to have that maneuverability. But what is so wrong with just saying, hey, Cole likes pitching to Higgy. Higgy's a good offensive player right now, and he's the guy that's going to catch Cole. Doesn't mean that that's always going to be the case.
Well,
but it's always that sensitive dance of, well, we don't want to say anything that's going to upset Gary. Cole wants to pitch to Higgy. Done. It's not unprecedented. It's not crazy. And it certainly isn't anything that Gary Sanchez should be upset about.
Let's put it this way. Of the 26 guys on the roster, Gerrit Cole is the most important.
Sure.
So if Gerrit Cole said to the Yankees, by the way, when I pitch, I want everybody wearing orange clown wigs, they should do it.
Right.
And if he feels more comfortable pitching to Higashioka, then he should pitch to Higashioka. But I understand the way Aaron is shrouding it, because why should you diss Gary? Gary didn't do anything wrong. Cole pitched well the opener against.
But it's not. It's
the Blue
again.
Jays.
It's that sensitive. I don't understand.
That's the new age, Don.
Don't have to like it, and that's what just kind of bothers me. Everything, whether Judge is injured or not injured, everybody has got to like dance around whatever the facts are. We're gonna find out and get to the bottom line of it. The fact is, it's his day. Why is it his day? It was his day because Cole's pitching. It wasn't a day game after a night game.
Right. They fashioned it that Gary's going to catch 4 days in a row, and when Cole comes up, he's not going to catch.
Right. So don't make it, well, it's his day. It's his day because Cole's pitching. Now, if it had been the second game of a doubleheader, if it was a day game after a night game, well, then that would have been, you know, his day for the backup, the catcher to pitch, to catch. So, I love Boone. But I just don't understand why every press conference has to be, we now got to translate what's being said here, because, oh my God, Gary Sanchez is going to be sensitive if it's known that Higashioka is going to be the one that catches Cole. And I don't think anybody should be offended by it. Heck, it was, A.J. Burnett didn't want to pitch to Posada. Posada's almost a Hall of Famer.
And you know
I said,
what?
Look at Javi Lopez's numbers. You're
Posada
telling me
still
that he couldn't catch Greg Maddux on occasion? He never did.
And Posada still doesn't like A.J. Burnett because of it. And Gary has played well. By the way, Yankee catchers this year combined 353, 450 on base percentage, 765 slugging. They're 12 for 34, four homers and eight ribbies. It's working.
But here's the thing, Michael, is that I'm comparing Posada to the fact that Posada was one of the core four. Posada's got, in some people's minds, numbers that could put him into the conversation for the Hall of Fame. Sorry, Gary, you're not at that level yet. So
Don,
I don't know. Understand why I've got to massage his ego. He hadn't done anything yet in his sport, for God's sake.
I can tell you why. The guy hit 147 last year, and didn't start in five of the seven postseason games, and said he didn't understand why. So he's a little sensitive, Don. Well, just a little.
Well, he's going to have to figure that out, because if he's going to be long for this. For this team and this town, then get used to it, because it's not going to get any better. If you're going to be the next Thurman Munson or Jorge Posada, guess what? You're going to have to live with the ups and downs and the dealings with the media and the boos and all that. That comes with it. Heck, Derek Jeter got booed here. Mariano Rivera got booed here. All right? I don't think you should be in the business of coddling every single player, especially a player that has accomplished zero in this sport. And if Posada had to take a seat, well, then certainly Gary Sanchez can. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the manager saying, this is the way it goes. We just spent a quarter of $1 billion on this pitcher. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. If he wants to pitch to a pitch and catch, then that's what he's going to do. And I don't understand with the history of baseball why this would be that big of a thing where Gary's going to pout about it.
It's essentially what he said, Don. You just want him to be like really harsh
yes.
about it and go, there's no way that Gary's ever catching him.
Well,
he essentially said that Higashioka is going to catch him.
No, but listen, he did that because he doesn't want to be married to it, because there might be occasions where Gary's going to have to catch him.
Right.
Like if Gary's red hot, Higgy's batting zero, and there's a big game, then guess what? Cole's got to get over it too, and they're going to need Gary's bat. I think he understands that, and that's why he said it that way. But don't give me the whole gobbledygook of, well, it's his day. Again, you could sell that to me if it's a day game after a night game, because that's the day that the backup catcher usually catches. But no, it's his day because Cole's pitching. So that means that he's Cole's caddy. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's best pitcher in baseball. Now, the Burnett thing was confusing because Posada was a borderline Hall of Famer. And what was A.J. Burnett? Wasn't even the best pitcher on the staff. That's what baffled people. But when you're if we're going to rank him, the second best pitcher in baseball, maybe in some people's eyes, the best pitcher in baseball, and a catcher that sometimes can't get out of his own way, then guess what? That's the way it's going to be. And I don't think there's anything wrong with stating that.
Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. How about this, Don? A Twitter handle by the name of What a Met Steak. It's Christina Metz 15.
Okay.
And so yesterday she tweeted out, hear me out. Can a stadium have a retractable roof added, or is that only possible for new constructions? She didn't even add anybody, right? Steve Cohen just answered her. It could, but it costs $300 million. What do you think? I think he's going to do it. And I think it would be brilliant to do it. Well, absolutely brilliant to do it.
Well, think about that.
$300 to him, he probably has in the ashtray of his limo.
Well, because the reason I thought about that is because of the money that they gave Lindor. That was always the analogy we said. That's nothing to him. This guy negotiates billion-dollar deals over breakfast. So for $300 million, do it.
So you never have the clown show that happened on Sunday. Hey. Ever. You'll never have it again. There'll never be a Met home game that would be rained out. Ever.
Think and there's other it. Events.
And then you could have events. You could maybe even get the Final Four there. I mean, it's a smart move.
And when you think, like, that's a lot of money, $300 million. But to somebody like Steve Cohen, and for the money that you've invested already in the franchise and how much the franchise is worth, what is an additional $300 million where maybe you get a Final Four? Maybe if baseball opens up this idea about neutral site World Series, you know, that you could be considered for that,
yep.
Right? Concerts. Rolling Stones come to town. Now, all of a sudden, Citi Field's an option in December, where it might not have been in other ways. Like, there's so many different avenues where you can make the money back. The fact that he threw it out there, Michael, and he's even thinking about it.
I think he'll do it. I think it's a smart move. And as I said, baseball should subsidize any teams that want to do it. If the Yankees want to do it, it should be subsidized. If the Mets want to do it, it should be subsidized. Only good for the sport. And, you know, you're always talking about doing things for the fans. Fans driving an hour to a game and then having it rained out, it kind of stinks. You know, you have Knicks or Ranger tickets, you know that game's going to be played. You have Giant or Jet tickets, weather doesn't cancel them.
And also, you want to – I know baseball doesn't rely on the walk-up the way they did back in the day. But if you're considering to go to a game and you get a day where, it's going to rain, I'm going to stay home. But if you know the game is going to get played, maybe you'll decide to take the opportunity and go. So you don't have those days. Like, let's say they got the game in the other day. You might only had 10,000 people in the building because nobody wants to go out there and sit in the rain for a game that might be played. I remember when I had the partial season tickets, Michael, sometimes in April, even when it was not raining, it'd be freezing outside. Like 35 degrees at night. And how many people would be like, I'm not going to go sitting there. I'm going to wait. So now you could actually up your attendance. Now none of your players are going to get hurt because they had to get up and pitch and then not pitch and all that.
The fact that Cohen knew the exact price shows you that he's been thinking about it. He's actually game planned it.
Well, that's the thing, Michael. I mean, he's not an architect. I mean, if he's just guessing, because it might be more than that. I don't know.
No. That, I heard that it's about that. Now, I don't know if it would be totally enclosed. You'd still feel the outside weather. You'd feel cold, but like it is in Safeco. Well, what I think it's T-Mobile now. Anyway, let's towel off. We've got to get to the phones. We still have to give away $500. So it's been a great start to the show. Peter proving his prowess, his peanuts are doing a great job. Now, some people say, I want the Carmi to vote against him. I don't. Vote as you feel, Carmi. Don't feel like I want you to vote against him. Vote for him if you feel it. Vote your conscience, my friends. Kay, LaGreca, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Yes. Good time on the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So let's set the table here. We're on Yes until 3:30 because of a late programming change. The Nets against the Timberwolves live from Minneapolis with Ryan Rucco, Sarah Kustak, and Michael Grady on the call. They will take over the Yes airwaves at 3:30. So we become a radio only vehicle. So if you want to consume the show, you have to get to 98.7 ESPN. If you're watching us on TV, make the switch at 3:30, because as we said earlier, you miss a minute, you miss a lot.
And if you're somebody that doesn't have a radio, which isn't a crazy thought in the 21st century, right? And you consume us on television, then go to your Alexa, say, play ESPN New York. Go to the ESPN app, which you should have if you're a sports fan. Click more, go down to the tab for 98.7. Listen, enjoy, consume.
Really? And if you want to stream us, and well, I think you have to have some kind of a degree from MIT, then do that. It can be done. You've got to be very bright to do it, but it can be done.
We have a very, very bright audience.
Other stations, it's idiot-proof. Ours is not idiot-proof. You've got to have an MIT degree to actually stream our show. But we want you to try, because once you get there, you're going to feel so empowered that you are able to actually find this little secret button on the ESPN app where you can actually listen to the show. Give it a shot. You'll love it. You'll love it. Now, I caused a lot of controversy in the previous hour because Peter's off today. He has a family function. All good. All good. And I said, how many people are happy that Peter's off? So he's running away with the poll on Yes, running away with it. So over 2,000 votes, 61% say, no, we're not happy. So I said this to Andrew, and you know what Andrew said? Well, Peter's going to say, well, there's 39% of the people that are glad that I was off. I said, that's just ridiculous, because Howard Cosell in his heyday was voted the most popular sportscaster and the most hated one. And I also said, now, tomorrow's Yankee game against the Blue Jays is a 1 o'clock start. So I'm doing the game with Paul and Meredith. So Don and Peter are going to start the show at 2 o'clock, where you can win $500 in the 2 o'clock hour. And then I'm going to join after the game. I said, if you run a poll tomorrow, are you glad that Michael's not on the start of the show? It'll be 80-20. Yes, they are glad. And you know I'm a beloved figure. And they would say 80-20, they were glad, Don. So I don't think you could look at it and say, well, 40% are glad that Peter's off. That's a great number.
But nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see in raw numbers that they're not liked. That should be more of a hypothetical than an actual number. 39% of our audience doesn't want Peter on. Nobody wants to see that. Even though he won the poll, that's still a negative. So don't try to spin it in any other way. This was a nasty thing that you did.
No, it's not. And also, a couple of people on Twitter just made a good point. You know, I've sung the praises of the Yes app. Sung it. Love the Yes app. I don't know if there's a better app for regional sports network that's out there. But why couldn't the K-Show continue on the Yes app? Why couldn't it be an app-only presentation once the Nets go on? Think about that. Because when the Nets are against the Yankees, if you can't find Yes 2, you could watch the Yes on.
Right.
You could watch the Nets on the Yes app. You should be able to watch the rest of the K-Show on the Yes app.
I guess the question is, how were they affected in Stamford by a Yankee or a Net game in progress? Like, can they still operate the show while that's going on?
It's a good point. It's an excellent point.
And if they can, then there's really no reason why we can't continue.
Well, I don't think they're going to do it today, but in the future maybe they could. So you have to get to the radio today, 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to the phones. Greg in Staten Island. Greg.
How you doing, guys? Just listened to your show. Excellent. You guys are great.
Thanks, Greg.
Quick question. You guys are talking about Cole and DeGrom. It's a fair comparison. But I think DeGrom has his skin is much thicker than Cole's, as far as we know. Of course, DeGrom has pitched here for 6 years. He's pitched on a losing team, no run support, and he's been phenomenal. Now, you put Cole in that situation, you don't know what you'll get.
Hey, Greg, Cole pitched for the Pirates. I think he knows about losing.
You're right about that. Right. True.
Yeah, I don't really see anything that where Cole would have a thin skin. Now, I know he's bounced on a bunch of different teams, but, you know, he's found himself in Houston. Big contract, lots of pressure, pitching in the postseason. I think DeGrom is slightly better, but it's really razor thin.
I got to tell you, Don, and I know that it's always going to be met with some accusation of prejudice. I think Cole's a stud. And you know how I feel about DeGrom. I mean, when he came up, I'm the one who thought he was going to be great. I think Cole is made for this. It's in his DNA. I mean, we know the whole story when he was a kid, when he wanted to be a Yankee. He had two opportunities to be a Yankee, and he wasn't. But he's built for this. He loves it. He loves the stage. He really does. So I don't think he has thin skin at all. I really don't. There's never been an indication that he does. John in Queens. John. Johnny.
What's up, John?
Hello.
Hello, John.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
You got it. Thanks for making it, buddy.
First of all, before I give my comment, I just want to say that I personally think that Peter is a very important part of the show. I think you guys compliment each other on the show. That's what makes the show so interesting.
Thank you.
You guys are all good. You're like the Beatles of sports.
Wow.
Well, that's nice. So Peter was what, Pete Best?
He could be.
No, I don't know how he'd break that down, because who's our fourth guy? Is it Andrew?
The combination of Andrew and Anthony, I guess. So they would be Ringo, and Peter would be George, and John. You're either John or Paul, Don. You choose.
I've always been a Paul guy, so I'll be Paul, you be John.
Okay. All right, we've got that worked out, John.
Thank
what
you,
else
John.
You have?
I just wanted to absolutely say that Don was right on point when he was saying about Gary Sanchez. I mean, if Garrett Cole feels more comfortable pitching to Kyle as opposed to Sanchez, what's the problem? I mean, be honest. Like Don said, we're going to find out the truth anyway. And I don't think that Sanchez has proven to be that caliber of a catcher yet to make that kind of a stink, or to be that kind of, that upset over that. I mean, Cole is already proven to be the best pitcher in baseball. If he likes to pitch to Kyle, he should be able to. Shouldn't be a problem. Get over it.
I don't think it's a problem, John, but, I mean, you are dealing with a human being who probably is hurt. You know, he's the everyday catcher for the Yankees, and he can't catch the best pitcher. And, he's probably extrapolating in his mind out to October, well, Cole's going to pitch the biggest games in the playoffs, and I'm not going to be a lineup.
Well, but here's the thing. This is where I will give Boone credit. He did, he didn't want to be completely married to it. You could say, hey, listen, right now, Higgy's the catcher for Cole. And we're not saying that's going to be forever. It certainly wasn't on opening day, because we understood the significance of opening day, and our starting catcher should do that, and he did a good job. And listen, if there's a situation where Gary's flat out better and we get into an important game of the postseason, it could change. But right now, this is the way that it is. That's the way it was. Take a look at Javi Lopez's numbers. Take a look at Jorge Posada. There's been a lot of great catchers in this sport that just did not catch the ace. And you have a pretty wide gap there. It's probably the widest gap, Michael, because you know what? Posada, the gap between Posada and A.J. Burnett wasn't really even there. And the gap between Greg Maddux is one of the greatest pitchers of all time, but Lopez was a much better catcher, I think, overall for his career than what Gary is right now. So you've got a guy, Michael, let's be honest, this Gary Sanchez, forget about whether he should catch Cole. There's times he's not in the lineup because he's just not hitting. So I just don't think it's that big of a deal. Is he that sensitive?
I think all players are sensitive. I mean, because if you're not going to catch the best pitcher on the staff, that's a direct indictment that you can't catch the best pitcher on the staff. Now, so Javi Lopez was the catcher for Maddux, right?
Yeah.
And who was
it would be Perez or,
right,
or Olson.
Eddie Perez, right?
Right.
You don't think Javi Lopez was chapped about it? If you have any pride, you're chapped about it. Yeah,
no,
you have
I'm
to deal with
you
it.
Shouldn't be chapped, but I don't think Bobby Cox had to walk on eggshells around Javi Lopez. You probably talked to him and said, this is the way that it is.
Different time.
But I don't. But I love that. It's a different time. Well, why is that? Why is that better? And exactly how has Gary benefited from walking around him like he's so sensitive? Has he turned it around? I know he's having a pretty decent start to the year. But God, it just did they worry about sensitivity when they benched Frazier?
Yeah, for some reason they don't worry about sensitivity with Clint.
You know, and so, but I know you massage situations. Bill Parcells always treated Lawrence Taylor different than everybody else. You know why? Because Lawrence Taylor was the best player in football. But they really bend over backwards for Gary, and I just don't see the results for that.
So Gerrit Cole was with the Pirates from 2013 through 2017.
Not bad teams then.
94 wins, 88 wins, 98 wins, and then the final two seasons, 78 and 75. So the last 2 years, it was bad teams, but the first three were pretty good.
But I think what the caller was trying to say is that you really got to give credit for DeGrom. He hasn't thrown any of his teammates under the bus. It's been horrible. How many losses, how many no decisions has this guy went through pitching his brains out for this team? But I don't see any indication why Cole would treat it any differently.
Also, DeGrom would not win if he's criticizing his teammates. And he's smart enough not to do that. He says all the right things. He does what he can control. And what he controls is pitch. And also, he hits, too. But the bottom line is it would serve nobody any good if he said, you guys better score for me. I mean, they would hate him. Oh, Mike Gaffney, our resident comedian. What a line by Mike. Did you see this?
I did not see it, no.
RJ is Yoko. Oh, do I love that.
Well, he didn't break us up.
Yeah, he tried.
I don't think he tried. You tried.
Yeah, he tried. How do I try to break people up?
Well, because of how harshly you treated RJ, and then that created an issue of Peter and I having to defend RJ.
I didn't treat RJ harshly. He treated us harshly by bailing on our show.
How can you look at that as a bail when he got a promotion?
Well, I also blame management. They should have given him a promotion and stayed on the show.
I can't complain there. I'm with you there, but I'm not gonna kill RJ, but because it was a promotion,
well,
right?
You know what? Let's.
You got called up.
You're always making me out to be the bad guy.
Well,
RJ's got a wedding coming up in August, right? I guarantee you, I'm invited. If I'm not bad, if he thinks I'm not bad of a guy, he doesn't have to invite me. No, I guarantee I'll be invited.
See, and I think Andrew will agree here. It's not a statement on that you're not a bad guy. It's really a statement if RJ invites you to the wedding of how good a guy he is, that he can look past that and still invite you.
Why would he want a bad guy at his wedding? That's a dumb thing for him to do. If he thinks I'm a bad guy, then eliminate me. I shouldn't be at his wedding. I should not be at a joyous occasion. He's marrying a beautiful, great woman who knew he made a mistake leaving our show, but she let him do it. Because you gotta let your partner sink if he wants to sink.
It was a promotion, and I can't guarantee there was more money, but I think there was.
I think there was. There was more money, which management should have given him to stay here. But that's
But they didn't. So what's he supposed to do? Take the financial hit? Were you going to compensate him?
No.
You going to step up and say, whatever the extra money is, I want you here so bad, I'm going to pay it?
I might have, but I wasn't given that opportunity, was I?
Well, he's going to ask you.
I blame everybody for this. Although Anthony's been unbelievable taking over for RJ, I just don't like to upset the apple cart. I like things to be as they were. They were very successful, and then what'd they do? They kicked me right in the knee, and I don't like being kicked in the knee. Go to Edward in Virginia Beach. Edward.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You
Michael,
got it.
I got to call you out, man. You being on your Yankee boys stuff again, I'm sorry. Listen, guys. I didn't grow up in New York. I was born there. And I always used to think, since I'm in Virginia, I always used to think I was a Yankee fan. And I realized, from listening to how you gloat about them, and they're so good, and always making up excuses, I know you work for them, you've turned me into a Mets fan. I'm a Mets fan now. I was one of the things that I realized I'm a Mets fan. I'm sorry. You give them a soft landing on everything, on every single thing. With the boom thing, you try to explain it away. As soon as with the Yankees, one game, don't panic. But when the Mets have one bad game, it's, the manager this, the manager that. It's one bad game. You know what I mean? I just want you to be down the middle.
No, I think you should be a Met fan. I think you've made a wise choice, Edward. You've let somebody on a radio talk show make you switch teams. Good for you. It shows you're not that bright, but just do it. Enjoy the Mets.
I've never heard that.
I will not even talk you off the ledge. If I made you change your allegiance, have a good time, sing the Mets song, take pictures with Mr. Met when you go to Citi Field, good for you. I hope you have a life of happiness. I mean, Don, I don't criticize the Yankees. I criticize the Yankees to the point that I probably get myself in trouble.
Forget
that. I don't laud the Mets. I said that, Jake, I'm not going to defend myself against this clown. Stay in Virginia Beach and watch SNY. Have a good time. Enjoy the Mets. Switch a the guy must have, been in his 20s? He switched allegiance because I'm Yankee boy. Yankee announcer, and he's mad that the Yankee announcer actually sometimes defends the team. Good. Enjoy the Mets.
Well, if you were a Yankee boy, Michael,
greet the Mets. Step right up and beat the Mets. Bring your kiddies. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. You have a good time, Eddie. Do it, baby.
Do it. Do you think Yankee boy would know all the words to that song?
I know all the words to everything.
And come on.
I mean, really, is that a smart
thing? How can a grown man be turn on his team because of you? Now, that happened to my dad. Mel Allen converted my father into a Brooklyn Dodger fan. Did I ever tell you that story?
Yeah.
But he was 8. He was 8 years old. He's listening. His dad was a Yankee fan. He wanted to be a Yankee fan. The Yankees lost 15-0. And all Mel Allen did in the postgame show was talk about how Phil Rizzuto was spectacular making all the plays at shortstop. And my father's like, why are we talking about this? I'm done. I'm going to go to the Dodgers. But he was a kid. He's a grown man that is so sickened by your Yankee boy, which is a fantasy, by the way. And then convert. He wanted to convert anyway. You know what he probably did? He's probably dating a girl that's a Met fan, and he converted for the action.
Well, I mean,
for lack of a better
word, you're a spineless jellyfish like he is, you just make nobody could change your allegiance. Even if the announcer has a horn sticking out of his forehead, that shouldn't let you change your allegiance. And also, Yankee boy, you know, if I work for a less understanding place, right? The way I killed them for the Davey Garcia decision in Game 2, killed them. To the point that I had a long talk with Aaron Boone during the winter about that very thing. But I'm Yankee boy. Good. Enjoy the Mets. You're going to look good in blue and orange. You should. Enjoy them. I hope you have a great long life together.
The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. It is a good song.
It's a great song. Virginia Beach. Take a walk, clown. Go to James in Westchester. Get off my phone, as Bob Grant would say. Hello, James.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing?
Good. I haven't called in a while. I'd just like to quickly declare that I'm the greatest Bash for Cash winner of all time before I make my point.
Really?
So
strong.
Yes, yes. Back a couple years back, I guess the Sunday game on a Friday afternoon, I guess the inning, the batter, and the pitcher. So, and then you guys upped the prize, and people were getting, like, commercial spots and stuff. I felt a little slighted, but it's all right. It's all right.
But you know what? You have the title of greatest winner, so that's big.
Yeah. That's true. Do you guys have a plaque up for me or anything? Like a
yes.
poster?
Oh,
it's
in the old. We haven't seen it because it's in the studio. We haven't been in the studio in 14 months, but it's there.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to make a point about this new extra innings rule. It has been obviously frustrating as a Yankee fan having, you know, had it happen already a few times to us this early in the season. But maybe instead of putting a runner on second, they could have the managers come out and play rock, paper, scissors to figure out, you know, who's going to win the game. Or maybe Steve Donahue could pitch the 10th or something like that.
You know what, James? I know you're being facetious, but I'm in lockstep with you. It's a carnival act. It's a carny act. You're taking something that doesn't exist in baseball just to break a tie. It's a joke. Now, Everybody thought, well, these extra inning games, you know, they really set back a pitching staff. You know what? Baseball survived 125 years with extra inning games. Now, if you want to shorten the game so that there's no 18 inning games, how about this, Don? Let them play real baseball for three extra innings and maybe in the 12th put a runner at second base, maybe? And this guy also saying, you know, it's affected the Yankees. The other team also had to deal with a runner at second base, nobody out. It's a clown show.
I'm with you, Michael. That you give me a couple of innings of actual baseball, because I do agree in this day and age to go out there and play 20 innings, game ending at 3 o'clock in the morning. I know it's historic, but it's not good for anybody. It's not good for your pitching. I mean, nobody wants to see like actual everyday players pitching because you run out of pitchers. Okay, so nobody wants to see that. I get it, but does it have to be right away? You can't play like through 12 and then decide to do that.
It's a terrible rule. I think most people dislike it. Patrick Santoro makes a really good point on Twitter, Don. K is in rare form today. One minute he's heel K, the next he's singing and jolly. Maybe this is what Summer of K is going to look like moving forward. Oh, yeah, Patrick.
Great.
It's going to be that.
Another reason why you should listen to every second of the show, because you never know what's going to happen.
Did anybody start like listening to the show today and think that I was going to be humming along the Met song? Nobody could have predicted it. I couldn't have predicted it, Don.
No, you didn't know it was going to happen 3 seconds before it did. That's what's great.
And the Yankee song's great, too. Here come the Yankees. Yankees.
It's every bit as good musically, not lyrically.
I like that.
Because they never play the lyrics in the song for the Yankees.
But there are lyrics there.
I know, but I don't think they're good enough to be played all the time.
Do you know that they play that song on Yankee radio? Because when I joined John, that song had gone away. And I said, that was the song I grew up with. I said, bring back the Yankee song. And now they open up every broadcast with it. Because of me. Me. That's right. I'm very sad, Don.
Now you're sad.
Because I'm a myriad of emotions. We have to say goodbye to Yes for Nets basketball. So Ryan Rucco and Sarah Kustak and Michael Grady, please do a good job with our time slot. I mean, don't ruin it for us. We built a big, big audience
here.
It's
so true.
Keep it, hold it, possess it, caress it, make it work. Enjoy Nets basketball.
Why don't you come back just for this reason?
But please stay right here on the radio side because we have so much more to do, so much more to talk about. 1-800-919-3776. We'll take more phone calls. We'll talk Sam Darnold. We're going to talk the Knicks. Mark Cuban and Luka Doncic have very strong opinions about the play-in in the NBA. What a show. Lots to do right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying, Don?
I know what you're saying.
You hear me.
I really enjoyed this show. I should say enjoying this show because there's more.
Oh, it's 2.5 hours more, but I think it has something to do with Peter not being here. But, you know, I don't want to stir anything up. So Sam Darnold met with the media, said all the right things, said how happy he was there, but, you know, also said he wanted to have it work in New York. Matt Rhule, the coach of the Panthers, said this, Don, and it caught my attention. I wonder what you think. Here's Matt.
We need another really strong draft. So at the eighth position, we'll be flexible. We'll look to take the best player available. We'll continue to look at quarterbacks. You know, I've been impressed going around and watching some of these guys throw. So we'll look at anything and everything.
Wow. So let's put it this way, Don. I don't know. Maybe Andrew or Anthony can illuminate me. I'm not sure he said that with Sam sitting right next to him, because that would be unbelievable. And I wouldn't mind it if he signed Alex Smith, or, you know, if they brought Teddy Bridgewater back. You know, those guys are in their 30s. So, yeah, you'd be looking at – you just traded a 2, a 4, and a 6 for Sam Darnold. And you're telling me – and he's 23 years old. You're telling me you're still going to look at quarterbacks? So then what kind of faith do you have in Sam Darnold? The only thing I could figure out, Don, maybe he's trying to deke another team into trading up to 8 to get a quarterback. But what an awful optic or ear tick to say that. I don't get it. I don't get why you would say that. Why would you insult Sam Darnold?
Yeah, he's just – it's got to be a smoke screen or something because, again, they're picking 8th in what is looked upon as a 4-quarterback draft. Now, if they're taking – if they're picking 4 or 3, well, you probably don't make the deal for Sam, but let's just say you did because it was just too perfect to get him. Well, you're talking about quarterbacks that many people project to be NFL quarterback. Is there a 5th quarterback out there that people think – is going to be like a legitimate quarterback that you can't pass up, that you're going to take at 8 when it looks like top 4 quarterbacks are all going to go 1, 2, 3, 4? Does he want to get somebody thinking that, let's say,
that has to be it.
Let's just say, for sake of argument, Fields kind of falls out.
Or Trey Lance.
Or Trey Lance. Because Trey Lance looks like he's number 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't get taken at 4 or 5. Or 6, right? And now he starts to drop to where the Panthers can take him. Well, now that that statement's out there, somebody who needs a quarterback is going to call him. That's got to be it. And if that's the case, they probably said to Sam when they made the deal, listen, don't listen to anything that we say. We're going to throw some things out there. You're our guy. Because the reports are they're going to pay that $19 million. So this is not some audition. That all the indications are they're going to let Bridgewater go. And Sam's going to be the quarterback, and they're going to give him that $19 million for 2022. So if you're going to do that, why would you then take a quarterback at 8? But let somebody think you are, so that if one of those 4 drops, then the phones start ringing.
The only way this is acceptable, Don, the only way it's acceptable is if they told Sam, this is what we're going to say, we're trying to deke somebody into trading up to the 8th spot. Because if you just did it without even warning Sam, what an awful thing to do. What an awful thing to do.
First of all, you do not trade 3 draft picks over 2 years to bring in a quarterback when you intend to draft a quarterback or you intend for Bridgewater to take the job from him. You brought him over because you want to give him the inside track to be the quarterback. And don't waste the 8th overall pick when there's some really good players out there to go take another quarterback. No. That's just a smokescreen. Now, are they under some obligation to let Sam know that? Yeah, probably.
And
I'm sure
they
did. I'm sure when he came to Carolina, they probably said to him, you're our guy. And don't listen to anything you hear.
Well, the Jets trade Sanchez. So now, I mean, it's a terrible secret. Obviously, they're taking Zach Wilson.
Sam, you said Sanchez.
They traded Sam. Well, same thing. And Mike Tannenbaum was on DCR today, as was Don LaGreca, from what I hear.
Yeah.
Great appearance. And Tannenbaum was asked by the guys, that's DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, who does Zach Wilson compare to?
I've been spending a lot of time on that, and this is going to scare people, but it's really more of on the field. But if you think about a guy like Johnny Manziel, like athletically with a great arm, there's actually, to me, some Aaron Rodgers, some Patrick Mahomes in him. I've seen him in person. I'd like to see him get a little bit bigger, especially from the waist down, where can he withstand the rigors of the NFL? Like, if I was Joe Douglas, the one thing that would keep me up at night is this guy going to be able to play now 17 games, balls in his hands a lot, outside the pocket? Can he protect himself? Like, he has great accuracy down the field. Not good, great accuracy, but the durability would be my only concern.
Well, when you say that he reminds you of Johnny Manziel, I wanted to throw up. I mean, that's not a good comparison.
And also,
but how can you be Johnny Manziel and Mahomes?
Now, he said his only concern is durability, but that's a pretty big concern.
Right.
You don't draft a quarterback at 2 and have him become RG3. You draft a quarterback at 2, and then you're done for the next 15 years. That's the plan. That's going to be our quarterback for the next 13 to 15 years. When you start having questions about his durability in this league, Michael, that's that. And even if that's the only problem, that is a significant problem. Durability is what counts. That the best asset that Eli Manning had is he played every down. That's big. That's huge. Because what good is investing all of this future on a quarterback that you're not sure is going to be able to stay upright?
There's such I don't envy any of these GMs, because the one no thought pick is the number one pick. That's it. That's the one that, you know, you could do with your eyes closed. The other ones have so many question marks. I mean, Zach Wilson had shoulder surgery, wasn't voted a captain, didn't play the previous season. Justin Fields, I mean, what's the deal with Justin Fields? I mean, why has he dropped as much as he has? Why are there questions about whether or not he works hard, which is what Dan Orlovsky brought up and then kind of took back? Trey Lance, you know how many games he played last year for North Dakota State? One. Now, the year before, he was great. Every single one of these guys, Don, except for the number one pick, is a huge question mark. So, for the Jets to get rid of Sam and put all of their eggs in the Zach Wilson basket, they've got to know stuff that we don't even know, because it's not a slam dunk. I'm sorry, it's not, Don. It's not a slam dunk.
No, it's not. Even if what could they know to make it a slam dunk?
Trevor Lawrence is a slam dunk. He played high competition. He took the ball. He played well in big games dating back to high school. Zach Wilson's not a slam dunk. Who did BYU play? Who did he play?
Well, listen, he's a slam dunk, Lawrence, in the sense that nobody is going to kill Jacksonville for making that pick.
Right.
And if it turns out he isn't a great quarterback, I mean, who can kill him? This guy has been the consensus number one pick for a year and a half. So he's a no-brainer, a can't-miss in that sense. But it's still a crapshoot on whether he's still going to be a great quarterback. Take a look at the quarterbacks that are taken in the top three. You're still batting like 30% on whether those quarterbacks are going to become studs. So it is a clear crapshoot. You don't know. And the Jets' problem is, and they're hoping they can change that, is this seems to be the organization where quarterbacks go to die. Right? And that's the one thing that I think really worked against Sam, is that the reason Baker Mayfield was taken one overall is they felt he was more NFL ready, that Sam was going to be a bit of a project early on, and they just messed it up because obviously they didn't know what they were doing to develop a quarterback that needed development. And that seems to be where Wilson's going to be. So they've got to make sure they've got the right pieces in place to nurture this kid and make him into a big-time quarterback. And when I hear about durability, that's scary, because you got to be able to play. You have to be available to play.
Scary. And then Johnny Manziel.
Wow. Well, from an athletic, because Mike Tannenbaum is, this is what I love about him. He's just being literal. Like, there's similarities in their talent level, because Manziel had talent. It just didn't convert to the NFL. But that's what he sees. But he also sees Patrick Mahomes. I mean, but could you think of two different careers? As far as one guy that couldn't cut it in the NFL and one guy's the best quarterback in the NFL. That right there tells you the crapshoot that it is. The two quarterbacks that Wilson reminds him of, one was a clear bust and the other one's the best quarterback in possibly the NFL seen in the last 20 years. That's what we're looking at. That's what he could become.
Well, that's quite a spectrum.
Right.
But he could become.
He's not wrong, because
the thing is the number two pick, right? That's almost got to be a slam dunk. And Sam had to be a slam dunk, and they messed that up. So if they mess this up, you're setting the organization back 15 years.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to get these quarterbacks?
Now, the good news is this is not the same regime, right? Different head coach, different offensive coordinator, different general manager. So I don't think that we should judge this regime based on the Jets' history. But the history still exists, where more times than not they get it wrong. But I don't think Joe Douglas and LaFleur and Sala should be judged by the mistakes of McCagnan and, you know, Rex and Tannenbaum from the other quarterbacks that were taken very high, right? Hopefully they develop, because it sounds like there's development to be done, right? And And it almost seems like, Michael, that maybe he won't be the starting quarterback on opening day.
Well, unless they bring in a veteran, he's going to be. I mean, who do they have? They have two guys backing him up that have never played in the NFL, an NFL game.
They can get somebody. There are veterans that they can go out there and sign.
Okay, do you feel really good about Brian Hoyer, who they had in and they let get out without signing? I mean, nobody out there is a guy that you'd want starting.
But, yeah, you don't want starting if you want to, you know, win a bunch of games. But if you want somebody to kind of tutor the young kid, a professional quarterback that can show him the ropes. Like, I think Alex Smith would be perfect if he wasn't just banged up. Because now if I bring in Alex Smith, Alex Smith is a professional's professional, right? I mean, he's played in big games. He's been a big-time quarterback in this league. I think he'd be perfect to mentor Wilson.
He mentored Mahomes.
But the problem is that at the state of his career right now, on opening day, he can get leveled, and now all of a sudden Wilson's your starting quarterback. So I need somebody with a little bit more durability. Forget about winning games, just somebody that can show him and then eventually hand the ball over to Wilson. So, yeah, none of these quarterbacks are going to make you feel like, oh, this guy will guide us to, you know, a 9-7, 10-6 season and make us get into the playoff. Who is going to make Wilson that much more ready to become my starting quarterback?
Well, you know what I would do if I'm – and maybe the Jets are doing this. I'd wait till Carolina has to release Bridgewater. Nobody's trading for Bridgewater's contract. He'd be the perfect bridge guy, no pun intended, to get Zach Wilson ready. But maybe Bridgewater still harbors illusions of being a starting quarterback for a long time. But the Jets might be his only hope right now. And I would love to bring a quarterback in of that. I'd love to bring in Gardner Minshew. Who knows if Jacksonville's going to keep him and start him for the first couple of games before Trevor Lawrence. So, hey, by the way, did you hear Tannenbaum in that answer actually channel his inner Michael Kay? Did you hear it?
No.
Well, listen right here.
He has great accuracy down the field. Not good, great accuracy.
There you go. Because Peter always makes fun of when I say not good, great. Now Tannenbaum has grabbed it.
Well, Mike is a friend. He's a friend of the show. I'm sure he listens.
You think he stole it?
Not on purpose.
Well, when you steal something, you steal on purpose.
No,
or
he might
think just like through osmosis, it permeated his brain and he used it?
Yeah, because you use it a lot. He listens a lot. Right?
I've stopped using it, though, because Peter making fun of me.
But that probably enhanced it even more because it became a thing. Yeah, I think it makes sense that, you know, when you first started doing play-by-play, I'm sure you might have picked up a few things that you heard throughout the years, right? Because that's just in your brain.
Maybe.
You didn't do it on purpose, just like what you've heard, and he heard that. And plus, we're also taking the leap that you're the one that invented that.
I don't think we should do that.
Now, then he could have picked it up somewhere else.
Earlier today, Peter's off today because of family obligations, all good, celebratory in nature. And I said, are listeners happy about Peter being off? I'll tell you what, Don. I mean, there's close to 6,000 votes, close to 7,000 votes.
That's like double what we get for Drop Madness.
Yeah, this is how engaged people are. Now, people thought I wanted this poll put up, and you could vote it at TMKS on Yes or at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. And the Yes Network poll, about over 2,600 votes, 61% say, no, we're not happy he's off. So that's a victory. And then the ESPN poll, which Andrew skewed by also putting in, you could vote for K equals bad guy for asking.
I try every day.
That's close to 4,000 votes, and 45% say I'm a bad guy. 29% say they're happy that Peter's off. 26% say they're not happy he's off. So I think this is a resounding victory for Peter.
You didn't know that, and it was still mean-spirited that you brought it up.
I think you're wrong. I think you know me better than anybody. I was not being mean-spirited.
But if we took a poll on whether you're being mean-spirited, you'd lose.
You want to run that up there, too.
Andrew believes you're being mean-spirited.
He does. Well, you know what?
Anthony does. Right, Anthony?
No, Anthony would never say that. Anthony went to Fordham. Anthony? Do you think I'm mean-spirited?
I don't know what the motives were behind asking.
It wasn't mean-spiritedness.
So you think the motivation was, let's really talk up Peter and let's just show the world how important he is to the show?
Yeah.
Or have him be destroyed and then have fun with him tomorrow when he comes back and then say you lost, blah, blah, blah. Come on.
No, that's not how I roll. I don't rip my own people. Come on.
Well, maybe you've changed. maybe through the vaccine, maybe one of the byproducts of the vaccine was not just to ward off the coronavirus, but to make you a better team player.
And it is the summer of K.
And the summer of K. I mean, this is all positive.
Summer of K.
And I tell you what, I think the show's benefited from it. I really enjoyed working with you today.
See? See? Remember when Michelle Beadle used to always say that?
Oh, yeah.
See? Yeah, see? Speaking of Michelle, let's go out to L.A. Todd in L.A. Todd, talk to us.
Hey, thanks for letting me in. I appreciate the opportunity.
You got it.
Been watching basketball all year and just wanted to, in full transparency, I'm a Clipper fan, but I really want to talk up Thibodeau for Coach of the Year. The last six or seven games that I've watched the Knicks play, I cannot believe the yield that he gets from the talent that is on that team. That is not really the most talented team in the NBA. And the fact that he has them playing at 500 or above, or even close to 500 at this stage of the career, of the year, I should say, is a testament to his ability to coach, to lead, and to motivate his players. What they did last night to a Laker team that just destroyed the Nets was just unbelievably intense, especially on the defensive end. They were magnificent. And along with Doc Rivers, who I begrudgingly would put up there with Thibodeau as Coach of the Year, I think Thibodeau, pound for pound, has to be Coach of the Year so far this year for the NBA. And thank you for letting me in.
You got it, and I'm glad you brought it up. He's done an unbelievable job. If you just take a look at the talent or lack thereof on the Knicks roster, and then you see the last three wins that they had after really tough losses, Don, it looked like their season was about to really spiral, and they went three in a row against teams, you know, that are pretty good. The Grizzlies, then the Raptors, and yesterday, the Lakers. Now, the Lakers obviously are without LeBron and Anthony Davis, but LeBron and Anthony Davis didn't play against the Nets, and they ran the Nets out of Brooklyn. So the Knicks embarrassed them. And here's the difference with playing the Knicks now. You know you're in for a game. You know you're going to work hard. And they played so well yesterday that a rare bad game for R.J. Barrett didn't even affect them because Julius Randle had a monster game again. And Elfrid Payton stepped up and had a big game as well. Derrick Rose had a big game. Bottom line is he's got them playing at the top level that they could play. They are not much better than a one game over 500 team, and he's got them playing above what they should be.
Well, what's more impressive about the Laker win is what happened with Memphis and Toronto, because the Memphis game was right down to the wire. They found a way to win that one close game against a team that was three games above 500 when they played them.
Yep.
And the Toronto game was close at the end, but they also blew an 18-point lead in the third quarter. So they faced adversity in those two games, won close games. And to my memory, Michael, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the only game they've been blown out since the All-Star game was that first game against Milwaukee.
Yep.
Otherwise, they're in every single game. Even the games that they lose, they're right down to the end of it. So, yeah, there's no question. Am I going to tell you I'm seeing every coach in the league? I'm sure there's other guys that'll get consideration. But from watching the Knicks and what they've done, to be above 500, competing for a playoff spot, and even without the play-in, they'd be competing for a playoff spot, that's all coaching, man. And he's done a terrific job.
Yeah, I actually think he could be Coach of the Year over Doc, because Doc inherited a really good team. Thibodeau inherited a really bad team that hasn't been able to get out of its own way. I mean, what's the difference between this team and last year's team talent-wise?
I mean, no, just the play of the guys on the court. What, Rose? That's it, right?
Yeah, and Rose came late, and then he missed a lot of games with COVID, so I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what they've done. Let's go to Spike. I'm sure he has an opinion. Spike in New Jersey.
I do have an opinion, and it's a very strong opinion. I do believe he has to be Quinn Snyder of the Jazz. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but Quinn Snyder does have a good team.
Quinn Snyder is overachieved with the talent on that team. You take Gobert and Donovan Mitchell out. They got a 37-year-old Paul Millsap, a couple of other guys. I do agree with you. Last night's game showed me a lot. And I want to make one quick Yankee comment. 25 turnovers they caused by the Lakers. I told Andrew in the pre-pickup that that's one of the rare games when a team has more turnovers than assists. That defense is smothering. It reminds me, not personnel-wise, of the 90s teams. The tenaciousness. And this kid Barrett, I'm in and out with his jump shot. It's been hot and cold all year. He's improved it. He's changing. Improving your free throw percentage 10%. You know, Michael, that's not easy. But he doesn't play like a 20-year-old. There's a dearth of talent. I calculate them at the 28th or 29th talent-wise roster in the league. And you still haven't had Bullock and Burks have hot nights together and quickly showing that he's a rookie. But to beat that team last night, embarrass them. I mean, to make them 24-second violations, and the Knicks had a horrible shooting night. That's a big win, and I think they'll split with the Pelicans. Now, I want to tell you this because I've been sending you some messages. I got a break. I got tickets to see the Yankees with Christopher came down. So I'm going to go with him tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
And we're sitting in the fifth row, and I got the Yes app, so I can listen to you call the game and watch the Yankees play.
You know what? I was talking about this on the air yesterday, Spike. I mean, you're so fortunate. I almost equate watching a Major League Baseball game that counts in a small facility. Don, it's got to be like watching an NBA game in a high school gym, an NBA game that counts. I mean, there are about 1,000 people that are letting into TD Ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching the Yankees against the Jays in games that count. That must be an awesome experience. Think about that. I mean, how often you get that close to players to see a game that counts that closely? I would love to be there.
I look at it this way. You know, if I went to a Somerset Patriot game, right, which I do often, even before they became the affiliate with the Yankees, right, that's a building that I think holds maybe like 5,000 people.
Right.
But there are some nights I've gone to a game where there's like 1,000 people at a Somerset Patriot game. Imagine me sitting there in that ballpark, and it's Yankees-Blue Jays. It would be unbelievable, right?
Yeah, it's
no,
great.
No offense to the Patriots, but it's minor league baseball. But, you know, to watch that, to go to a, I don't know, let's say you went to a high school gym and watched Knicks-Lakers.
Yeah, think about that. That's exactly you know, what it's like.
That would be just incredible, right? That'd be that close to the player. It must be a lot of fun.
Dominic Smith just hit a 2-run home run, so the Mets jump out to an early lead in their doubleheader against the Phillies. Why don't they ever do this for poor DeGrom?
I know, right? They scored. They gave in the third at bat. They double their total from what they scored on Saturday. Unbelievable.
I'm telling you, he's the best hitter on the team. He really is.
He's
sorry
three for five.
He's the best hitter on the team.
Smith or DeGrom?
No, Smith. I mean, DeGrom's been amazing, but Smith can do damage. He's something else.
No, he is.
That's why not starting him opening day is a real head scratcher.
Right. I'd have to look at it, Michael. They've got to be killed more than any other National League team about the DH.
Absolutely. It weakens their defense in three separate positions. All right, it's time for This Day in Yankee History.
Okay.
Brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. You go back to 1978, Donald. It's the Yankees' home opener at the stadium, a 4-2 victory over the Chicago White Sox. But that's not the story.
No.
Reggie Jackson hits a 3-run home run in the first inning. His fourth consecutive round tripper at Yankee Stadium after going deep 3 times in last year's Fall Classic finale. But that's not even the story.
No.
The game becomes delayed when the crowd celebrates by showering the field with Reggie bars, a chocolate and peanut candy bar with a picture of the slugger swinging a bat that was given to every fan entering the game. That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. Now, I've told this story before. I was at that game. 17-year-old Michael was at that game. Now, when Reggie Jackson, before he signed with the Yankees, he had said, if I ever played in New York, they'd name a candy bar after me. And then he hit the 3 home runs in the final game of the 1977 World Series. And you know what? Standard Brands made a candy bar. And they gave it out to everybody that walked into the stadium in the home opener. and he hits it in the first inning. So before people could even, like, eat it, they're throwing it on the field. Like, people at hockey games throw hats for a hat trick.
Right.
Not 17-year-old Michael Kay.
No.
He ate that bar, and it was a delight.
And you did the right thing. That's not being a bad fan. That's just being a human being that sat down and enjoyed maybe the greatest candy bar of all time.
And I wonder, because Reggie's very, very shrewd businessman, how he has not convinced Standard Brands to bring that candy bar back, because it's just a great bar.
Hey, listen, 10-year-old Don LaGreca, that's at the height of me hating the Yankees.
Sure.
And I would go to George's, which was right there in Hawthorne, Diamond Bridge Avenue, and I would go and buy my Wacky Packs, and I would get a Reggie Bar and love every second of it.
Oh, it was so good.
Now, did you say Reggie has got, like, some in a freezer somewhere?
He's got like 40 of them in a box in a freezer.
Knowing him, he probably has 44 in a box.
You know what? That would be bright if he did that. But it was so good. For those that have never enjoyed a Reggie bar, wow.
Peanuts, caramel. And they didn't even try. Like, it just had whatever shape just plopped down, right?
No, it looked like, it looked like a cow chip. That's what it looked like. But it didn't taste like a cow chip. You know what Catfish Hunter said about it? He says, the only candy bar that when you take it out of the wrapper, it tells you how good it is. All right, let's take a brief time out. 1-800-919-3776. Interesting comment by the Mavericks star and the Mavericks owner. We'll talk about it. Kay LaGreca and you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.